श्रीमान श्री श्री भक्तिनंद गोस्वामी महाराज प्रपार की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की जय, नमाचार श्री ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नंद श्री राधा श्री गौ भक्तविंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोविंद श्याम गुंदर कुंद गुरुराम की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय, मथुरा धाम की जय, गंगा माई की जय, यमुना माई की जय, तुलसी देवी की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, समवेत भक्तविंद की जय। हरि नाम यज्ञ की जय, ओ प्रेम नंद हरि बोल, ओ ग्लोरियस सिस्टम डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरियस सिस्टम डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरियस सिस्टम डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री राम। So much power, Shaktiman, Mr. Shaktiman. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, touch, yes, 30. Tata, tatra, yaiva, yas, ya, maha, tatra, yaiva, yas, ya, maha. Sakatan yuktamam chiram. Sakatan yungta ma chiram. Udanan nyanya grato yanto. Udanan nyanya grato yantu. Bhagavan yadi rochate, Bhagavatam yadi rochate, tatha tadaiva yasyamaha, sakatan yuktam magritsiram, udanan yagrato yantu, Bhavatam yadi rochate. Somebody. Somebody more? Okay. Tat. Therefore. Tatra. There. Adye eva. Just today. Yes, Yamaha. Let us go. Shakatan. All the cards. Yungta. Make ready. Machiram. Without delay. Godanani. All the cows. Agrataha. In front. Yantu. Let them go. Bhagavatam. Bhavatam. Of all of you. Yadi. If. Rochate. It is pleasing to accept it. Go. Pleasing, excuse me, let them go. Bhavatam. Bhavatam. All of you. Yadi. If. Rochate. Pleasing to accept it. Therefore, let us immediately go today. There is no need to wait any further. If you agree to my proposal, let us prepare all bullock carts and put the cows in front of us, and let us go there. Next one. Upon hearing this advice, Upananda, the coward man, unanimously agreed. Very nice, I said, very nice. Thus they sorted out their household affairs, placing their clothing and other paraphernalia on the cart, and immediately started for Vrindavan. Next verse. Keeping all the old men, women, children, and household paraphernalia on the bullock carts, and keeping the cows in front, the cowherd men picked up their bows and arrows with great care and sounded bugles made of horn. Umash Parikshit, in this way, with bugles vibrating all around, the cowherd men, accompanied by the priests, began their journey. In this connection, it is to be noted that although the inhabitants of Gokula were mostly cowherd men and cultivators, they knew how to defend themselves from danger and how to give protection to the women, the old men, the cows, and the children, as well as to the Brahminical Purohitas. Omagyanti Vidandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmintam Yinatas Mai Sigurovin Maha Sichitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yinabhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Siguru Siyuta Parakamalam Sigurun Vaishnavam Sa Sirupam Sagadratan Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savaduta Vaijana Saitam Krishna Chaitana Devam Siradha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sa He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandro Jagarpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Rata Kanta Namastuti Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutra Devi Pranamami Hari Pre Vansha Kalpatru Vyasa Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vajra Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. So this is a very, apparently not a very complicated verse. Somebody may say there's not much to talk about, but there is. Because there are some subtle points here. It is very interesting that they kept old men, women, children, and the cows in front of everybody. That's very important because these are the classes of society that must be protected. Very simple. This is Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, in Varnashram Dharma, we know this. When we are not following Varnashram Dharma, then we don't know that. Then we make our own ideas. सुवानश्राम विभागशा स्वनुचितस्य धर्मस्य संसीरे हरितोषणम्. इफ यू वांट टू प्लीज कृष्णा इट इज एब्सोल्युटली नेसेसरी टू फॉलो वानश्राम धर्मा नॉट असुरिक वानश्राम बट दैवी. दैवी मीन्स दैट ऑल्दो we may be even liberated souls, still we follow Varnashram Dharma. And clearly you can see this in the position of the gopis and the gopas in Vrindavan. Prabhupada says to that, let me just find it, very interesting verse. It says in the purport, apparently the residents of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children and performing religious ceremonies. These are actually the Sri Dharma. It is not that a man has to do that. Women have a particular duty, man has a particular duty in the Varnashram Dharma system. And so it says here, Krishna describes basically speaking the activities of the women. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in loving service of Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness. And thus they exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. Otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage to the material world. Thus one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, whether it's in the material world, of Vrindavan, we have in Vrindavan, India, cows were there, cowboys were there, etc. These are the pastimes described. When actually the Vrindavan pastime took, is also the same in the spiritual world. But even Krishna, who is the supreme personality of God, as Swayambhuva, when he sees Yudhishthira, he bows down in front of him because Yudhishthira is the oldest. Right? The Lord himself bows down. Simply, he follows Varnashram. He's an older person. Then Arjuna embraces, because they're in Sakya Rasa. Then he bows down, he embraces Arjuna, and then he accepts the obeisance of Nakula and Sahadeva. So even Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, follows some principles. And he preaches here, you know, in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The resident of Vrindavan performed all activities in pure Krishna consciousness, and thus they exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. So there were Kshatriyas, there were Vaishyas, there were Sudras, and there are Brahmins. Like in every society you have that. You can't change that. People try to change that. They want to have a classless society or equal opportunity. Arguing sometimes in Krishna consciousness because everybody is a soul. Everybody is simply the same. Men, women, dogs, cats. Yes, it's true on the spiritual platform. Yes, they're the same. But you don't put a dog on the Vyasasana. There's distinction, right? Or a dog on the seat of the king, right beside the king. And so we say, well, it's all the same. We're all spirit souls. Come on, king, don't complain. You don't do that. You discriminate. You discriminate. You distinguish. Let's not use that word. Distinguish. You have to have sharp intelligence to understand these things. They're actually very easy, but you have to have sharp intelligence. If people in material consciousness, they cannot understand that. They can't, you know. Just, I was recently asked by one of our friend upstairs, Not here in the temple. I'm talking about the Society for Krishna Consciousness. So he asked me this question. We are toying with this idea of Varnashram Dharma since a long time. We don't know how to do it. You cannot dictate it from the top, that much is sure. Varnashram Dharma begins with you and me. I, as a devotee, have the duty to follow the Dharma set aside for the four ashrams. If you're a sannyasi, if you're a vanaprastha, this, that, you have to follow the different ashrams. That's one thing. Second of all, you have to follow the different varnas. You know, you can't mix this. And it doesn't mean that it is just making money as a householder. It means making money for Krishna. It's a complete different thing. The activity may be looking as just he's following varna, but he's actually using his money for Krishna. Somebody may fight. Fighting is not a very spiritual activity, actually. But if it is done for Krishna, it becomes as good as deity worship. Like one time, sometimes in the West we saw that our ladies, they put the kid aside and they want to hear the Bhagavatam class. The kid is screaming, Prabhupada said many times, mother, who is his mother? Mother is sitting there. He said, take care of your child. And then Prabhupada said, child worship is more important than deity worship for a lady. Child worship more important than deity worship, because that is her service to bring the child up in Krishna consciousness. And you can't do that, but if you neglect on the basis of one Krishna conscious argument, I want to hear and chant, I'm my child, you know. That's not to be done. It's wrong understanding, you know. So for Krishna, we have to do everything and we have to follow Dharma. One may ask this question, why Lord Chaitanya, he didn't reject Varnashram Dharma, he said, but more important is to chant Hare Krishna, because by chanting Hare Krishna, people become capable to follow Varnashram Dharma. In the West, it is impossible to introduce Varnashram Dharma, and Prabhupada knew that if he would push this, then people will rebel. They will rebel, even devotees. Like there was a situation that Prabhupada initiated, Brahmananda told me, and it's also in Satsvarupa Maharaja's Lilamrita. He initiated all the boys, and some of our ladies became very angry. And so Prabhupada asked them, he inquired, what is your problem? And they said, we are very upset that you didn't initiate us. And Prabhupada said, well, I didn't intend to. The answer was amazing. If you do not give us initiation, we will boycott ISKCON. Think about that. We'll boycott ISKCON, right? This is a Western spirit. Because people are brought up like that. People are brought up like that with no idea of Dharma. And so, Prabhupada in his last days, he said, 50% of my work is not completed. The devotees asked, what is that? Varnashram Dharma. Because one has to have intelligence to see that. You know, I mean, in the West, everyone is the same, but does it make sense? I can't have babies. I can't, even if I try. Even if I have a belly like this, nobody will think that Larka hai. No, nobody will think, right? They understand it. He was slim like anything when he went to college. And his wife was slim. And then they marry, and then the belly comes out. And people start cooking and eating, etc., and eating and cooking. So some prapya and gulab jam and so many tasty things. So then the body becomes distorted. It's natural. It's not larka hai, it's just fat. Simple. So If we have to be trained from beginning, like Prabhupada said, we have to be trained how to be husbands and how to be wives. Actually, this should be done in the village from the beginning. And it is fortunate for India that if we go to the villages, you still find a lot of purity. You still find a lot of purity. There's still large amount of ingredients for Varnashram Dharma, that women are women and men are men. Like, for example, it is always said that a husband should protect his wife. But how do you protect your wife if she's competing with you? You cannot, right? You cannot protect somebody who's competing with you, who wants to be a man or an equal. Not possible. Absolutely impossible, right? You agree? It's impossible. Simple point. If you see somebody, a king sees somebody competing with him, he will cut his head off, right? So you cannot be a husband if the wife is rebellious. You can't. And the husband has to know that he has to not be a dictator or, how do you say, a terrorist. He has to understand that his wife has a place, spiritually the same, on the material platform differently. This requires some intelligence. I remember I met one rebellious lady in the United States. And she didn't hold much of Varnashram Dharma. And so I tried to explain to her. And she said, "I can't accept that." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'm a spirit soul." He said, "Yes, you're a spirit soul, but at the same time, when you're in the material world, you have to have your dharma." He said, "I am transcendental. Don't you understand?" And I said, "That's why you become so angry, right?" That's the West. We're not talking about India. We're talking about the West. You know, in the West, everything is possible. You can change your gender every month. In Denmark, you get two passports. One female, it is Sven, or male is Sven, and female is Svenja. So for 1 month you're man, for 1 month you're woman, by law. By law. This is Katam Pagal. Katam Pagal, hey. Western society. And you will never, it destroys India. You see how is this coming in? Hollywood, Bollywood, right? How it comes in. And how from the West, scientists develop the iPad and iPhone and all these things. But by the end of the day, people, even in India, are watching pornography, young boys. And their whole life will be ruined. All glory to modern science. You know, spiritually, you see scientists are just destroying the world. It looks nice, but actually it is something else. As soon as you develop gunpowder, the military will come in and take it. Every modern invention, immediately the military will use it. Right? Whatever it is, the military will come in. And in the same way, whatever invention comes in, people want to use it for their selfish purposes. Like I saw, a $10 million research in America was done whether breast milk is healthy or not. And they spent $10 million and came to the conclusion, actually, breast milk is healthy. Well, every dog knows that. You know, you don't have to research this. It's obviously the best. But you see, common sense is not very common. Lord Chaitanya did say that the further you go to the West, the more crazy people are. He was not talking about Gujarat, right? Gujarat is as far as you get in India, right? Pretty much. Dwarka is Gujarat, right? Dwarka is Gujarat, right? So he's not talking about Gujarat, he talks about the rest, you know, the rest. Where people are so spiritually impoverished that they are materially so greedy. It is the reason for a materialistic civilization where it's because people are spiritually poor. Soul is happy, but when in the material world, the more he runs into the material world, the more he becomes unhappy, 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 all the way to Patala. The more you run away from Krishna, you're running towards Patala. Right? So they're unhappy, they're dissatisfied because they don't have spirituality, they have a heart like stone. I tell you a story. There was a boy who joined our movement in Ireland. His name was Kevin. And the mother was very angry. Actually, when he came, he was addicted to heroin. Heroin, very addictive. And I preached to him, and he joined. And we made sure that he would go through his difficulty of getting over his initial addiction, you know, turkey, cold turkey it is called, withdrawal syndromes. And he made it. He became a devotee. So the mother came and said, "I'm so angry of you, you took my son." And I said to her, it was in a class on Sunday afternoon, she came, burst into the door. I said, "I'm so angry, where's Prithudas?" You know? And so I said, "Mataji, what is wrong?" And she told me, "You stole my son. I raised him as a Catholic, now he's a Hare Krishna." So I said to her, "Mataji, when he came, he was addicted to heroin. With all your Catholicism, you couldn't change it. We changed it." And she said, "I'd rather see him dead than joining the Hare Krishna movement." What mother in the world would say that? What mother in the world would be able to say that? Mother, the child, whatever the child does, the mother goes away. Father may object, but wife, his mother will go away with it. Like the story of Prabhupada tells the story, there was a woman, she was spoiling the child, giving her everything. That's the nature of women. My father, if I would ask my father, "Can I eat a chocolate?" What would he say? "Eat a carrot, it's more healthy." Eat a carrot. Right. And then my mother said, "Psst, psst." In the back room, she would feed me all the chocolate I wanted. You know, because women cannot say no so easily, you know. It's a good quality. You have to have these both qualities. If you have a religion where there is no Radha, only Krishna, it tends to be a male chauvinist religiosity. And male means my way is the highway, you know. Hands up. Either we become this or this religion, that religion, or we take you away. This is because there is this soft element is not there. That soft element is not there. And there has to be Radha and Krishna. Because women are more compassionate, far more compassionate than men. I give you a strong example from my own family. My father was in a concentration camp. He was tortured every night, beaten. He came out of church, and the top Nazi in the town stood in front of the church to see who went to church. You know, my father came out and said, "Hare Krishna, Mr. Brinkmann." This is the Heil Hitler greeting. And my, "Heil Hitler, Mr. Brinkmann." And my father said, "You can also say, greet God," which people do in Germany. They say, "Greet God." You know, it's like you greet somebody, greet God. So he looked at his man. Like that, you know. Next night they pulled him out of the bed, you know, and beat him down the stairs in his sleeping pajama down the stairs with the back of rifles, threw him in the back, and that was it. He was in a concentration camp. And there was one man, SS block warden. He was, every time he said, "Tonight, after he beat him at 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, tomorrow 12 o'clock I come back." And every time he was beating him, like anything. I don't want to describe the gory details in front of the deities, but he tortured him. And he would say at the end, my father was crying, his whole back was ripped open. He could see the spine. And he said, "And tomorrow I come back. And tomorrow I come back." So my mother could visit him. because we were not Jewish, we were Germans or Dutch, Caucasian. And so my father pointed out, you see this man there, standing there on this hill, that's the one. That's the one. And my mother took a photograph. If you see, if a wife sees a husband is tortured, she can never forget this picture. And don't worry, I mean, it's a fact. She burns into her memory, into her consciousness, this picture of this man. So the war went out, my father came out, and then his life was tortured. At night I heard him screaming. I was living right next door at night, you know. Oh, help, 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 help. And my mother said, Willem, cool down, you're not in the concentration camp, you're here with me, everything is all right. I heard this for years. He was not only physically tortured, he was mentally completely traumatized. And so then he died. His health was not very good, physical, mental health also not very good. He could be very angry from one moment to another. He had post-war syndromes or something. And so now listen to this story very carefully. In Europe or America, not in America, but in Europe, the body is kept at home. Some person comes, he's called the undertaker. You hire him, he comes, he washes the body and puts him into a coffin. And he lies there for 3 days and everybody comes and says, oh, even those who hated him, they say, oh, he was a good man. I always said he was a good man, right? For 3 days. Then he's brought to the cemetery. So now comes the story, why I tell you that. So my mother, the guy arrived, the undertaker, with his servant, and they were washing the body of my father in the shower room. The body was stiff, servant was holding him, master was washing. And my mother came back from the city, and she went upstairs and went, ah! She screamed and fell on the ground. I heard it with my brother. We rushed upstairs. And my mother, we put her into bed. She was unconscious, put water on her face. And she came back and said, my God, my God, my God. And we said, Mother, what happened? What happened? He said, that man, the undertaker, is an SS block warden who tortured your father. And how fate can be so cruel. Unbelievable. And so I wanted to murder him. We both, the boys, we were 16. We wanted to murder him. Clear cut. He is a guy that tortured my father. He's right in your house. He can't escape. Any young boy thinks, I'm going to kill you. Right? Would you? My brother went into the basement. I knew that he came. He wanted to get something. I went also. He came back with a can of petrol, and I came back with an axe to murder him on the spot. This is a man. Women won't do that. So then my mother saw it. She said, no, nothing of this kind will happen in my house. She said, he was a rascal, but he has a wife and the wife is innocent. He has children, the children are innocent. Why adding more suffering to what has already been produced by this man? He has to pay his bill with God. Let him go. And so we had to let him go. We were very unhappy about it, both of us. You know, but you see that men fight, women can be very compassionate. When we run out of mercy, there's still the extra mile that a mother would go. Like this child who was raised by the mother, and she would spoil him, she would give him everything. And finally he became so, untrained that he started stealing, and ultimately he killed a person. And then he had to be hanged. And the king said, do you have any question? Do you want something, last wish? And he said, yes, I want to see my mother. The mother came. He said, come closer, the boy said. He was standing on the platform. He said, still closer. Still. And then she said, I want to tell you something. So she came very close and he took her head and bit her ear off. He bit her ear off. And he said, my child said, how can you be so ungrateful? I gave you everything. And she said, yes, and that's why I'm here. You gave me everything, you know, and I became spoiled and ultimately criminal, ultimately killed somebody. You see, we have to make a difference between sometimes We need to be merciful, but sometimes to be merciful is foolish. It's called foolish mercy. Prabhupada would say that. If you do somebody, you give somebody charity who doesn't deserve it, that's foolish mercy. You know, if you think, well, the guy has done so many things, and let's just let him go, that's foolish. You know, everybody has his karma, and everybody has his fate. Everybody has his fate. And there's nothing you can do about fate, except one thing. Karmadi nirdhatu kintu bhakti bhajam. That's the verse from Brahma Samhita. Yastrindra gopa matavendra mausva karma. Everybody is under karma. From Indra down to the insignificant ant. Yastrindra gopa matavendra mausva karma. Bhajam. Karmadi nirdhatu kintu bhakti bhajam. If you turn to Krishna, then all your karma can be, your fate can be changed. Everything. Sarvadhamma prajajamami kamsanamvaja, right? One time an Indian man came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, can you read my hand? And Prabhupada said, yes, give me your hand. Prabhupada looked at the hand and went like this. All bad! And then, Swamiji, Swamiji, why are you saying it's all bad? He said, what I see in your hand is not good. When I see your lines, he said, what is it, Swamiji? Please tell me. Prabhupada said, I see birth, old age, disease and death. Now, if you clap your hand in kirtan, all your lines will change. This is exactly karmadi nirdhatu kintu cha bhakti bhajam. All your lines will change. Such wonderful. Prabhupada was so wonderful. All your lines will change. So, we have to, coming back to the theme, that here you see position of old men, position of women, position of children, position of cows. And in the end he says it again. Omash Prikshit, in this web is bugles vibrating in the ground, the cowherd men accompanied by the priest. Oh, that's not the verse. Moment, is it? Oh, in the purport. It should be noted that all the inhabitants of Gokula were mostly cowherd men and cultivators that knew how to defend themselves from danger. This is another one. That we cannot put ourselves in dangerous way. We should not. We say, but Krishna will protect me. We can't. We have to protect the body as much as we can do it. And ultimately we have to depend on Krishna. That's why you should wear a mask. You know. So we have to do our best and then Krishna will do the rest. There was a devotee, he joined, his name was Bhakta Chris, he was not initiated. He was staying outside. And so I preached to him all night, up to 4 o'clock, hoping that he would surrender. So by 4 o'clock, normally people say, all right, shave my head, I want to go to bed. So I preached to him like this, you know, and he said, all right, I join. I just have to get my stuff. And he went home. And we never heard of him. One day he came, and his head was covered in plaster of Paris. You know plaster of Paris? When you break your hand, plaster of Paris. He looked like a spaceman, like a space helmet. And only the face was sticking out, the nose, and the eyes, mouth. I said, Bhakta Ben, I think Ben was his name, what happened? I was depending on Krishna. You told me. So when I drove with my car, I packed everything as you said, I put everything in the back of my car, and then I decided, if Krishna wants me to become a devotee, let him take over my car. And he closed his eyes, and he woke up in a hospital. Right? The idea to depend on Krishna is very nice, but we have to do also our part, and then Krishna will help us. This is how that works. We have to have refined intelligence. Like we are supposed to understand that we are not the doers, right? But we have to work as if we are the doers. It means work like anything, whatever service, understanding at the same time that everything is done by Krishna, right? We have to work as if it depends on ourselves, but we have to understand and we have to pray that everything is going under Krishna's control. It's actually out of my control. This is the idea. You have to have refined intelligence. to understand these things. Even this verse is very clear, you know, that there are duties for men, there are duties for women, there are duties of the children. You know, everybody has a duty. And if this poison comes in, particularly from the West, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, the West must be destroyed. He said that almost 100 years ago, must be destroyed. Because they're killing Vedic culture. Western culture means completely opposite to Vedic culture. You know? Completely. I was in our temple in Munich. There was one Mataji, and she was very, very obstinate. She wouldn't listen to anybody. And so one day I spoke to her, I said, Mataji, you are here now since 2 weeks, 2 months. It's not difficult, it's difficult to deal with you, everybody's complaining. What's your goal in your life? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So I told her, Mother, you need to get married. You need a husband. I don't need a husband. I said, then what's your goal in the Hare Krishna movement? I want to become a GBC. I said, how is it going to do that? You never preached a word. You never distributed a single book. Who's going to listen to you? You think the boys are going to listen? They're on the street every day distributing books. They're going to listen to you? You have no experience, you have no track record of service. She said, well, I was told, you just have to go to the GBC school, take the course, quarter of a year, and you become a GBC. So, it doesn't work like this. I told her, Mataji, you have to get married. You're not happy. Are you happy? I'm very happy. I said, no, you're not. You may say that to me, but I don't believe that you're happy. You know? And so then, after some time, she had a nervous breakdown and she actually married. And now she's happy. And she plays her role perfectly. Because everybody has a role. Like Arjuna's role, Krishna was saying, you don't do your business. You know, therefore, you are, how come your mind is so polluted? He told him. Because he was not doing his duty as a man. Woman also has to have her duty. It is not it's not my idea, it's not Prabhupada's idea, that everybody has a duty. I will just read to you, it just comes to my mind, give me a moment. Where is it? Here. If you read the Krishna book, it's not just Prabhupada speaking, Krishna is speaking. And this verse, if I dare not to say this in many temples in America, you can't say it. It says, see, Krishna says the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another thing I must explain to you is that for a chaste woman's service to the husband without duplicity is the best regulative principles. Not only should a woman be faithful and chaste to her husband, but she should be affectionate to the friends of her husband, obedient to the father and mother of her husband, affectionate to the younger brother of her husband, and most important, she must take care of the children. In this way, Krishna explains the duty of a woman. He also stressed the point of serving the husband. Even if he's not of very good character, or even if he's not very rich, even if he's not very fortunate, even if he's old or invalid, or on account due to continued diseases, whatever the husband's condition, she must not divorce her husband if she actually desires to be elevated. This is what Krishna says. Now, I can make you a list this long of our ladies who will not accept that. She said, that is old days. We're living in modern time, right? We have to, best thing is to edit it. Let's take it out, maybe. You can't, because that's Krishna's instruction. In the same way, man, he has to be protective. You know, he has to maintain the family. That's why I appreciate that in India, the boys, most boys, they, first of all, they get their degrees. So that if they get married, which is very often the case, they can maintain a family in a decent way. In a decent way. And they can maintain their parents also. And so you have in India still this country, this culture that if you ask these young students that come to Germany, all Indian IT students, and I ask them, what are you working for? He said, first of all, I have to maintain my parents. I cannot leave them. Because in India, there's no social system in that sense, like in the West, that everything is paid by the government. It's very wonderful. The idea is still there. And I've been in India, not just in and out for a meeting. I've been in India for so long. You know, I lived in India for 6 years straight. So I can appreciate the subtleties of the system. And how, particularly if you go into the villages, Indian culture is still very pristine. Very pristine, very fresh. It is still there. And we must protect that. And we can only do it if everybody fulfills his dharma. How do you change the world to Varnashram Dharma? It is up to everybody. As a woman, I have to play the role of a woman in Varnashram Dharma. As a man, I have to play the role of a man in Varnashram Dharma. As a Kshatriya, Vaishya, etc. We have to set the example. By example, you can change the world. You cannot say, well, you know, let them do it. You have to do it yourself. That works. That's the only way to change the society. There was one monk in the middle, in the year 1000, Christian monk. And he says, when I was young, I thought to change the world. The older I got, I realized it's not that easy. And when I was on my deathbed, he said, on my deathbed, I said, when I was young, I thought I can change the world. Then I realized, if I can just change the country. And he says, if I could just realize my family. And then in the end, he said, if I could only change myself. He said, now I realize, if I would change myself, I would be able to change my family, I would be able to change my country, I would actually change the whole world like Prabhupada did. One man of India, you know, can go to the United States without a penny in the pocket. Nobody can do that. Nobody. Except somebody who is very Krishna conscious. You know? One member of parliament, no, House of Lords in London, House of Lords, he's an aristocrat. He met a devotee on the street and said, I read this book, Prabhupada. I said, I've never heard of a person who can do that, what your spiritual master did. That's just amazing. He's 70 years old or something. People are finished. They don't preach anymore. So Prabhupada preached like anything. How did he do it? He got himself a large amount of young followers because it's the young followers who can go out. I used to do that. I used to go out and sleep on the floor. I can't do that anymore. 75 almost. You can't. You need young people to preach. Every army is run by young people. Not run. The generals are old. But those who do the work, who go in there and murder somebody for the sake of the country, they're young people. The young people are the most important people in any family, in any country, in every civilization. And so our women are the most important. You know, because the softness of a woman can turn the stone heart of a man into soft. You see, every woman has an important mission to fulfill, to introduce Varnashram Dharma in this world. Every man has an important mission. You as a Brahmachari, I as a Vanaprastha, everybody. Varnashram starts here, right with ourselves. You cannot expect that somebody passes a sentence. Prabhupada tried that. He tried that in the beginning. He gave up on it. You know, because it has to come from us. We have to be ready and become perfect. Let not the wise, what is it? It's dangerous to follow somebody else's path, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Everything Krishna says is perfect. Whatever he says, even in Bhagavatam, in the verses I read, everything is perfect. You cannot argue with that. If you argue with that, that means you have no brain. You don't understand. that you have a duty to fulfill. Not to become a big man. Not to become, that's not the duty. The duty is to, wherever you are, you practice rules and regulations according to Krishna consciousness. What's the time? We have 6 minutes time, 7 minutes time to ask questions. Anybody has a question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for explaining this concept of Varnashram Dharma so beautifully. My question is, one of the students asked me this recently, and his father is a farmer. So they live in village, but his father wants him to become an engineer.
I cannot hear. You have to come here and speak into my ear.
Am I audible now?
Come close here. This is the glory of old age.
Please repeat the question so that people can hear. Question is, one of the students asked, he's a son of a farmer. Now, his father is Vaishya, and his father wants him to become an engineer. Which is materially sounds good, but it's a job of Shudra.
Yes.
What should he do?
I have to speak with him personally. Because this is a very personal question, what he does with his father. And you cannot explain this in general. So I have to ask him first, what is his situation of your father? What is the situation of your mother? Are they socially secure? All these questions. You have to, some questions you have to ask personally. You know, because if you make a general statement, somebody will misunderstand. This is a very personal question. This boy has to come to me and I will talk about it after I hear him. I have to understand his particular situation, otherwise I will say the wrong thing. You know, if you say the wrong thing, you have to, if you generalize, you know, just like in the West, I give you an example. My wife, she was in the ninth month, right? And so the kid was about to come. And she lived in the Brahmacharini ashram because we had no space in the beginning. So then she fell from the stairs and nobody came to help her. And on top of the stair there was a lady calling, "That's what you get when you have sex." I mean, can you imagine? Some brahmachari came and said, "Mother, what happened?" And she helped her to get up. You see? So it's true that ultimately everything is karma. But in even Krishna consciousness, you can conceive children without karma. I have personal experience of that. You can, if you practice whatever you do for Krishna, yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat rohoshi, yat ashi, yat, everything for Krishna. Not for sense gratification. Samsiddhi Hari Toshanam, to please God. That's the idea, you know. So this lady upstairs had no idea. She projected on us the vision of a Grihamedi, but that was not the fact actually. You know, so we cannot generalize. We have to see the person, every person is different, and we have to find out, when you preach to a person, what is his philosophy, what is his entanglement, what his... I mean, I would never tell a person to join unless I ask questions. Like, do you have a girlfriend? No. You have debts? No. How are your parents? Would they be okay? They would be okay. Then, so I asked him every question, then I said, "Now you should join right away, come on." He said, my girlfriend. I said, "You don't have a girlfriend." My parents. I said, "I asked already this question." "I have some debts." No, we discussed this. I asked all these questions to be able, I knew that he would be shaking in his knees if I would stretch the hand out, say, "Come on, let's do it. Takes 5 minutes, shave your head, you know." So you have to understand the person you're talking to, you know. Like, I give you another example, great one, that's the last one. That one time we had people from other Gaudiya, this is followers of Narayan Mahārāj. One of these ladies came, very strong preacher, and she came to the Los Angeles temple and preached her version of Śrīla Prabhupāda. which is is very different from Prabhupada's version of himself. And so she came into the Gurukuli ashram, where all the Gurukulis are. And she said, "Can I talk with you about Krishna? I want to talk about Krishna, some Krishna Katha." It took about 5 minutes. She was criticizing every ISKCON authority. It took 5 minutes, you know. So my son said, "Mataji, I have a question. Do you know this boy Prithudas?" She said, "Yeah, I know him. What do you think of him?" And immediately she started to criticize, and everybody laughed. He said, "Why are you laughing?" She said, "Mataji, you're talking to his son." "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Pardon." And then the boy stood up and said, "Mataji, that's what you get when you criticize ISKCON authorities. That's what you get." Just a nice example. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada. Go Premananda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I hope everybody could understand that I'm trying to spread the Krishna Conscious Movement as we were intended to do, and try to understand everybody has to play his part. Wherever he may be, we are not the same. Spiritually we are the same, but materially we are very different, and we have to follow that path. Hare Krishna.